1 Corinthians 10:10, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would pray, Lord, that we would take heed, as the Bible encourages us to do, admonishes us to do. Help us to understand, Lord, that even though these things may not be a problem in our life right now, we may feel as if we stand strong in these areas. It's amazing how these things can change, and if we're not careful, these things can creep into our life. And so, Lord, help us just to be alert, to be aware, to be honest with you and honest with your Spirit concerning where we're at in these areas of our life. And Lord, help us as we focus tonight on this sin, Lord, the sin of murmuring. I pray that you'd say something very powerful to our heart. Help us never to be involved in this. Help us to understand, Lord, the seriousness of it. We pray, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You can be seated. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Well, who were some of them, and when were they destroyed of the destroyer? If you'll go back to Numbers, chapter number 14, we're going to go back and look at an Old Testament story, an Old Testament incident. Remember, all of these stories that we've looked back at happened during their wilderness wanderings. They've left Egypt. They all experienced the miraculous deliverance from Egypt. They all watched God send the 10 plagues. They watched their families put the blood on the doorposts. They watched that blood make an atonement and the angel of death go by. Every one of them spoiled Egypt. Every one of them were delivered and crossed the Red Sea. Every one of them stood on the other side and watched God allow the Egyptians to get in the middle and cover them up with water. And a great victory, of course, was won. And so all of them were privy to the same things. And yet the Bible says that some were overthrown. Some of them became castaways. Some of them never saw the promised land. Now, what God is saying in 1 Corinthians is for us today. He's saying, you know what? It can happen to you. These aren't just Old Testament stories about some people that blew it big time way back when. These are the same things that if we get involved in could cause God to simply set us on a shelf, cause God to never be able to entrust us with anything meaningful or important to do in this life. These are sins that cost Israelites their very life. I mean, these are the kind of sins that they could have just chiseled right on their tombstone as they buried them in the sand of the wilderness and said they died of this. And so, as the Bible says, let's take heed. Even if we think we stand, let's take heed lest we fall. The sin of murmuring. Let me read Numbers chapter 14 and verse number 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. I'll read a little bit in chapter 13 later on in the message, but what has happened? They've sent 12 spies into Canaan land. 10 came back and gave a negative report, and because of that negative report, the people lost heart. They began to murmur, and they wanted to go back. Now notice verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, and their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. We could read the entire chapter. I will not do that, but we will reference ahead and look at some things as we teach this. This sin, the sin of murmuring, is mentioned, of course, in verse number 2, by name. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. If you look over to verse number 27, you'll see it mentioned several times in verse 27. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. And then in verse 29, what's amazing when we read this decree, this decision by God, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. And he basically said, if you are 20 years of age and older and you are involved in this murmuring, I'm going to turn you around, I'm going to put you back in the wilderness, and when we show up back here in 40 years, there won't be a one of you that are still breathing, there won't be a one of you that's still living. That's it. Then if you'll look at the very end, not at the end of the chapter, but if you look down to verse 36, this verse also, and the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. Even those men that did bring up that evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. This is a plague that hit immediately. This is a plague. God did kill some of them right there on the spot. And of those that were killed immediately were those 10 that brought up this evil report and turned the hearts of the people away. How many of you think, just by what we've already studied, that this might be a serious thing? I don't know about you, but when I read that, I think to myself, you know what? If I can figure out what the Bible's talking about here, and I think we'll be able to do that tonight, I don't want to get caught up in that stuff. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to be found to be murmuring against God, murmuring against God's leadership, be murmuring against God's plan. I don't want to do that. So let's first of all define murmuring. This is kind of interesting, really. Word studies are interesting in the Bible. It comes from the Hebrew word loon. And interesting, the thought here. The word means, I wanted to say loony, but loon. But the word here means to stop. And what it means is you're on a journey and you're going somewhere, but you stop, and then it says to stop, usually overnight. And you're going to see that repeated. So I'm going to read the entire definition. Listen to this. To stop, usually overnight, by implication, to stay permanently. Hence, in a bad sense, to be obstinate, especially in words, to complain, abide all night, continue, dwell, endure, grudge, be left, lie all night, cause to lodge all night, to make murmur, to remain, to tarry all night that night. So it's got the idea that you're on a journey and all of a sudden you stop where you're going, you stop going forward, and you just kind of pitch your tent there and you gripe and you murmur and you whine and you complain, and that murmuring keeps you from going forward. That murmuring keeps you where you're at. And I want to teach you some things right out of this story in Numbers chapter 14. Let me tell you something. You show me a Christian that's on the go. You show me a Christian that's doing something, going somewhere, heading somewhere for the Lord. There's probably nothing in the world that's going to stop them quicker and keep them from going any further than if they get involved in the sin of murmuring. It just has a way of halting you right in your tracks. And until you work things out and stop doing it, you're probably just going to stay there. Maybe it'll be a night, maybe it'll be two nights, maybe it'll be 6 months, maybe it'll be a year, maybe it'll be the rest of your life. Maybe wherever you stop to complain, that's the same place where God will have to plant you one of these days. It could be the very end of your journey, as it was for some of these. Folks, we have to guard against the sin of murmuring. Now, I want to show you several things about this sin right out of this story, and I think you'll be able to pull these things, identify these principles along with me. Number one, let me say this about murmuring. Murmuring in this story, murmuring started in the secondary level of leadership. Murmuring started in the secondary level of leadership. Now, let's look back at Numbers 13, verse number 26. It says, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, talking about the 12 spies that returned from searching the land for 40 days. They went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to the congregation of the children of Israel, to the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwelt in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell in the sea. Can I just stop right there and say, hey, there's also a God that dwells in heaven? Sometimes we're so worried about listing all the enemies, we forget that we serve a God who's greater. Listen, you can list 5,000 enemies, and with one word, God could speak, and they could be done. But what they did was they tallied up the opposition, and they begin to list all of the obstacles. Verse 30, And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Well, I don't know about you, but I just kind of stop and think, wonder how big God is. What, amazing. If we get our eyes off God, it's amazing what can spook us. You see? And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which cometh of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And so we see that the men who brought this report were not, listen folks, this wasn't riffraff that just happened to stop in on their journey and weren't even a part of the children of Israel. These weren't a fringe group of the mixed multitude. Now sometimes the mixed multitude started the griping, but not this time. This wasn't some third or fourth or fifth or sixth, seventh tier level of leadership. This was the leaders, 10 of the 12 leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel. These were men in leadership positions. And that's where in this instance, in this story, and by the way, this is the story that Paul is referencing the church of Corinth back to, not just talking about the sin of murmuring, but said, go back and look at this story. So let's do that, and let's use some discernment. Let's learn some things. Murmuring started in the secondary level of leadership. Now, listen to me real carefully. Folks, listen to me. It's wrong for anybody to murmur. But if you've been given a position, if you've been given some authority, if you've been given some oversight, it's much worse for you to murmur than it would be for any other person in this church. What am I saying? I'm saying, deacons, listen, it's bad for any church member to murmur. But deacons shouldn't be murmuring. Deacons shouldn't be murmuring. You know, folks, I have watched churches that were on the go and going somewhere, and they came to an abrupt halt. I could name churches, if I was so cruel, that's not that far from here, that came to an abrupt halt, and you know what? They've spent the night there and many nights there, and they've never moved since. You know why? Because a secondary level of leadership, men that were there that ought to be supporting their pastor and their pastor's vision, decided their job was to murmur. Their job was to spread negativity. Their job was to undermine pastoral authority. And I've watched those churches. They were going fine. You get a group of secondary leadership, begins to murmur. By the way, I'm helping Blessed Hope Baptist Church here tonight. I really am. Sunday school teachers, you need to listen to me. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's wrong for anybody to murmur. But all of a sudden, you are a Sunday school teacher here, and you get involved in this nonsense, it's much worse for you to do it. I'm talking about bus captains, and you've been given a position of authority and some oversight. Listen, when you murmur, it affects more people. When you murmur, it carries more weight. And you say, well, good, I've been waiting for this opportunity. Well, why don't you be a decent human being and resign? I mean it. What in the world's wrong with you? You think that's what this whole thing's about? What I'm saying is, as children's church workers, master's club leaders, I know they're not, but I'm saying when God grants you the privilege and the opportunity to assist leadership or in some way to lead, it makes it twice as bad if you fall into this sin of murmuring. Man alive, I'd expect it from you know, children. I expect it sometimes from teenagers. I expect it from mixed multitude. But these were such, I think Moses must have been so disappointed, because these were the leaders of each of the tribes of Israel that were sent out. If anybody should have had faith in God, these folks should have had faith in God. If anybody should have recognized that God had put Moses in a place of leadership, then surely these people would have recognized that. And yet we've got to be very, very careful. So take that to heart. As God blesses you, and if God does advance you, and God does give you opportunity to lead, understand that with that comes a huge responsibility. And be very careful that you never use your position as a place where you could discourage the brother instead of encourage the brother and advance the church. So number one, murmuring started in the secondary level of leadership. Number two, murmuring then spread to the people. Even though it started with these 10, we see in verse number 1 of chapter 14, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And this is one of the reasons as leadership we've got to be so careful. Brother Jerry, I mean, if listening to you on Sundays and Wednesdays, I'd think there wasn't a problem, that things are going great all the time. Can I say this? I ought to sound like that. No, I ought to sound like that. You know, you can decide what you're going to want to decide in life. You can accent the positive or you can focus on the negative. But you know, for every bad thing that goes on around here, there's 20 good things. If you want to find them, if you want to talk about them, if you want to look at them. Now, what is leadership supposed to do? Leadership's supposed to accent the positives. I'm going to tell you, I just gave you a great secret of life, mama and daddy. You're going to have negative children one of these days if you're not careful, if you just focus on the negative all the time. You're going to have negative grandchildren if you focus on negative all the time. I mean, folks, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look around and find a handful of bad things and then set down and stop the journey and gripe about them. You know, I mean, we're here. This is a church. Last time I checked, everybody here is a human being. Nobody's perfect. We got a lot of good things happen. We got some things that break down. We got to fix, and you know. Hello, welcome to real life. You know, I just get a little disturbed when I can get, some folks get so excited about a bad thing and don't seem to ever notice a good thing, you know. Now, why is it essential that leadership leave in a positive manner, that we try to keep everybody focused on the will of God and the purpose, the real purpose of the church? Not get caught up in the little mundane nonsense. You know why? Because every time you begin to murmur, folks, it's like a cancer. It's like leaven. It'll start spreading in your family. It'll start spreading in your circle of influence. And murmuring then spread to the people. Let me just say this, folks, and I pray that you'll just be a little merciful with me tonight, because I'm teaching you some things that'll help you. But let me say this. The majority of people are just, understand this about people, the majority of people are more prone to listen to the negative than they are the positive. That's the majority. That's your average Joe Christian. I'm sorry, I wish it wasn't that way. And it shouldn't be that way. But I'm just telling you it is. The majority of people are more prone to want to go backwards than go forward. You know, one of the things that I watched my dad do for all these years, and you know what? It's my job, leadership's job, is to always keep this ministry going forward. You know, it'd be a lot easier not to buy another bus than to buy another bus, not to have painted a bus in January than to paint a bus in January, not to start a new soul winning program in March than it would be to start a new soul winning program in March. You know, we as human beings just kind of like to kind of settle in, get satisfied, do our little bit, and then want to be patted on the head for it. Do you understand that God sent a pastor to this church to keep things stirred up, to keep us motivated, to keep us pushing forward? Some of you that have kind of slowly slid over into the sidelines and you sit, and now you're spectators. I'm not going to let you sit there. I'm going to aggravate you from time to time. I'm going to get on your toes. I'm going to stir you up a little bit. I'm going to make you a little mad. You know why? It's my job. You know, folks, listen to me. Murmurers always want everything to stop. But leaders want to keep things going. Murmurers want to get everybody back going backwards. God's leaders and godly leadership wants to keep things going forward. The majority of people, if you're not careful, are more prone to go backwards than they are forward. Here you've got 10 men come back with a negative opinion, opposite of God. And you know what? Next thing you know, the whole camp's ready to pick up stones and kill leadership, godly leadership. It's a shame that we're that way. You know, that may be true with the majority of people, but if I'm sitting here as a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I'd say to myself, preacher, maybe that's true with the majority of people. That's not going to be true with me. I'm not going to fall into that negative herd mentality. I've spent some time this fall, a little bit of time here and there. Didn't get to go a whole lot, but spent a little bit of time in a deer stand. You know, those of you that deer hunt or you're out in this that time of the year, you ever see those huge flocks of blackbirds come over? I mean, unbelievable the number of blackbirds that come over. And I'm always, when I see, you can hear them coming. You can hear them coming long before you ever see them if you're in the woods. You can hear it building and building and building. You can hear them coming, and you're looking and looking, and finally there's the first blackbird. And I'm always praying that they keep going. Because if you've ever had them swoop down and all of them decide they're going to be in the trees around you, first of all, you can't hear anything. It's the noise about drives you crazy. Second of all, you better have an umbrella. Because if they get in your tree, you're going to need it. I'm just telling you the truth of it. And I'm always looking, and I think, well, they look like they're going. And then I'll have two or three dingbat birds, for some reason, just all of a sudden decide that they're tired and they want to land on a tree. And they'll go down, and the whole rest of the flock will just follow them. And I don't think anybody back in the back even knows why they're stopping. You know, you talk to, I like reading old westerns, I do. I read one from time to time. I like that time of our country's history. And you talk about the men out there and the great cattle drives back in the day before the land of West was settled, and they'd gather up those herds and they'd drive them to the nearest railroad station, and they'd market them, and they'd drive them all day, and then they'd try to get them all settled down, and then the cowboys would take turns and they'd ride the herd, and a lot of them would sing and try to keep them calm and keep them settled. And sometimes you'll have weather that would get them stirred up. Sometimes a loud noise could stir them up. Sometimes maybe a wolf or a coyote coming in would stir some of them up. But all it would take is two or three cows to get spooked, jump to their feet, and take off. And you know what happens? The whole rest of the herd jumps up to their feet and starts chasing them. And here they are running just as hard as they can. And I think about, you know, 16, 20 rows deep, they're saying to themselves, why are we running? I don't know. Let's run. Why? I don't know. Let's just keep running. Now, if you're a blackbird, okay, bless your heart. If you're a dumb cow, okay, bless your heart. But if you're one of God's people in Numbers chapter 14 and you saw what God did in Egypt and you watched the Red Sea split, and all of a sudden just because a few whiners start whining, you start whining, you ain't got much sense. What I'm saying is this, murmuring, we got to be careful because it spreads to the people. I don't think it has that much effect, thank God, on spiritual people, but it just tends to average Joe Christian, if you're not careful, you're just going to get caught up in it. You don't even know what you're talking about or why you're mad. Well, I'm telling you, I just don't think things are going well. Well, why? I don't know. Let me say this. Things are going good. Let me say this. God's blessings are everywhere. I took a quick oversight, and you know what? God's doing some great things. All right, now. But notice this, murmuring spread to the people, but then we see number three, murmuring was condemned by spiritual people. Murmuring was condemned by the spiritual leadership. Thank God for Joshua and thank God for Caleb. In chapter 13, verse 30, all this nonsense, all this negativity in verse 30, chapter 13, Caleb stilled the people before Moses. And by the way, Caleb wasn't a man of a lot of words, if you notice. This is what he said. He stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. That was his whole speech right there. Caleb said, I don't know how y'all are voting, and I don't know why you're listening to this nonsense, but I'm saying this, let's go. Let's do it. And then you get over to chapter 14, verse 6, and it says, and Joshua the son of Nun, Caleb the son of Jephthah, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. By the way, they got a little passionate. I think they got a little angry. They spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us. Land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not. Notice they identified what was really happening. They got to the crux of the matter here. What was it? Just some group's opinion versus another group's opinion? No. It was obedience versus rebellion. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. See, what the people didn't understand, what they couldn't see just by going around and looking, was, and we see this 40 years later, that God had sent before them stories of everything that the Israelites had seen in the wilderness. And those people may look tough, but they were in utter fear of the Israelites. But that wasn't apparent just by peeking around, spying, and looking. They were in utter fear of the Israelites. And folks, listen to me. We so many times see the outward. We don't understand what God's doing on the inward. We don't see the behind-the-scenes things. But Joshua and Caleb, spiritual leadership. Let me just say this. After they had that speech, that's good, and I want to say this. Thank God for Joshua and Caleb, but spiritual leadership is not always popular with the masses. Notice this. The last thing they say in verse 9 is, "And the Lord is with us, fear them not." But all the congregation, bad what? Stone them with stones. And then all of a sudden we see also in that same verse, God shows up. Glory of the Lord appeared. But spiritual leadership's not always popular with the masses. You know, folks, sometimes just standing up and taking the right stand, taking the godly stand, taking a spiritual stand, don't always expect that everybody's going to just jump up and give you a big round of applause when you do that. There's times when a preacher has to come to a pulpit. You know what? He has to absolutely just lay the law down. He just has to hit a reset button. What I found out is this. Not everybody always leaves happy. You know, Dad, you know the kind of sermons I'm talking about. It's during the closing prayer when you don't want to go back there to shake anybody's hands. You want to go out that door, just get in the truck and head on home, you know. Because half the people shake your hands just kind of doing it because they have to, and they can't figure out another way to get out of the church anyway. And you know what? Hey, can I say this? So what? Comes with the territory. So what? You know, folks, we got to get off this popularity thing. We got too many politicians in the pulpit instead of prophets in the pulpit. Too many men every Sunday morning wetting their finger and checking which way the wind's blowing. Well, I better not say that. So, you know, just say what God's put on your heart to say. Just preach it. Preach it. But the murmuring. Boy, the price the sin paid or cost the children of Israel. Murmuring was condemned by spiritual people. And it always will be. Now let me give you this thought about murmuring, okay? Murmuring started in the secondary level of leadership. Murmuring then spread to the people. It was condemned by spiritual leadership. And then murmuring, this is so sad, it stole the courage of the people. Murmuring stole the courage of the people. Notice what they murmured in verse 2 and 3. "And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. The whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt." That always cracks me up when they say that. Folks, listen to me. All you had to do was, when he split the Red Sea, not go through. All you had to do was turn around and head towards Pharaoh. You'd have got your wish. You didn't want to die in the land of Egypt when you had a chance to die in the land of Egypt. Amazing that things can get so bad. Well, it's just better if we were dead. I want you to notice how irrational people get when they get possessed with this spirit of murmuring. They get absolutely irrational. Would it was better for us to have died in Egypt? Oh yeah, it would have been a better option. Or would God we had died in the wilderness? What? "And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword?" Notice this, that our wives and our children should be prey. See, you know what they've done? They don't really put us in trouble. But what's going to happen to our wives? And what's going to happen to our children? You know what this is, folks? This is hysteria. It's hysteria. And it's amazing how murmuring just builds and builds and builds and builds, crescendos and crescendos, and gets more irrational and more irrational. And pretty soon folks are saying things that don't even make any sense. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Boy, they forgot what Egypt was like. What about those taskmasters that beat them? What about when they took their straw away and said, "Gather your straw, and by the way, you're going to make the same number of breaks"? Wait a minute. What about when Pharaoh said to every pregnant woman, "You have a boy and I'm going to throw it in the river"? What in the world? Folks, it's amazing when we get a spirit of complaint, a spirit of bitterness, when we get into that funk and we get a group of people together in that funk, it's amazing the irrational, ungodly things that will come out of our mouths. That's why I just don't want to be around that crowd. I don't want anything to do with that crowd. Murmuring will steal your courage. Murmuring will cause you to want to turn back. Murmuring will keep you from wanting to go forward for God. It'll take your bravery. It'll take your courage. So stay away from that sin. Let me give you this, number five. Murmuring was directed at three targets. Three targets. There was three things that were being murmured against. Verse 27, let me just start with where all of the murmuring basically is who it's against. And that is, first of all, murmuring was directed against God. Verse 27, God said, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me?" Heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, and they murmur against me. He says now, verse 29, which have murmured against me. When we start murmuring, and we want to stop, and we don't want to go forward for the Lord anymore, God takes that personal. He says, you're not just complaining about your circumstance, you're not complaining about leadership, you're complaining about me. And God took it very personal. Then the murmuring was directed against God, God's appointed authority, and we see that in verse number 2, and the children of Israel murmured against Moses, against Aaron. Then if you look at the last verse we pointed out, verse 36, the murmuring also was against God's appointed plan. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. This is the promised land. This is the goal. This is why they came all this way. And it was a tremendous place. Even the critic says it flowed with milk and honey. Even the critics brought back the grapes that were enormous and stories of grandeur. But then they brought up a slander against the plan that God had. And I've been at the helm of the church for a while. Folks, listen to me. It's my job to provide leadership and vision for this church. We're going to start some things. I'm going to do it on purpose. Some of you that are more interested in sitting still than going forward, you're going to murmur some. Well, okay. Murmur away, but we're going forward. Murmur away, but we're going forward. And what you ought to do is get away from that nonsense. What you ought to do is say, you know what, let's support God. Let's support God's man. Let's support God's plan for our church. Let's get involved and let's get busy and let's watch this ministry go forward. And that's what spiritual people do. And what they ought to do. And folks, listen to me. Listen to yourself. Listen to each other. Listen to your crowd. If you're with the murmurs, you ought to get out of that nonsense. I'm trying to help you tonight. I really am. And murmuring was directed at three targets. But let me say number six. Murmuring angered the Lord. It angered the Lord. And we didn't read the entire chapter. But boy, when God shows up, verse 10, the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle. You know what? He'd listened to that nonsense, heard it, and he was tired of it. Verse 11 said, "And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them and will make of thee a great nation mightier than they." And there's no one that can read this chapter, the conversation between God and Moses, that should have any doubt that this sin angers Almighty God. Angers Almighty God. I think of how many churches and how many ministries were at pivotal points where they had the right leadership and the right vision, and murmuring started. All of a sudden they came to that crossroads situation where that ministry should have went forward and could have went forward and miracles could have happened. Somehow some people just let this murmuring spirit infect them and begin to pass through the congregation. Next thing you know, they're on the journey, they're going somewhere. Next thing you know, they say, well, let's just sit here at night and talk about it. Here it is, years later, they're still sitting there talking about it. Nothing's happened. Nothing's getting done. Murmuring angered the Lord. Murmuring cost, this last thought, number seven, murmuring cost many their opportunity to see the promised land. Please listen to what I'm going to say. And folks, you may think that this kind of a message is for some reason self-serving to a pastor, but it's not. Yeah, would my job be easier if I could keep people from murmuring? It sure would. I'd like for everybody to be on board. I'd like for everybody to be positive. But let me say this. Murmuring doesn't cost me near as much as it costs the person who insists on murmuring. It costs their opportunity to see the promised land. This is the kind of sin that can get deep-rooted into a person. And I mean, if you're not careful, it's as addictive as alcohol, drugs. Some folks get into it, and they never, ever can get out of it. They just spend their whole life. And they get to the point where they even think it's a calling of God. They try to spiritualize it, that their job at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is just kind of sit there and watch and look. And notice what they think ought to be done different. And then their assignment for the next week is to try to corner as many people as possible and tell them what they would have done differently had they been, or they think, or I don't know, and I'm not sure. And they do that week after week after week, year after year. And I think to myself, what could God have done with your life? What great things could have been accomplished in your life? What great miracles could God have seen in your life if at some point early on you would have got a hold of that thing and realized that it is a sin against God, sin against your church, sin against your preacher? Come to an old-fashioned altar and genuinely repent of it. I mean, openly repent. Say, I'm done with that. I'm not being involved in that anymore. If you've got anything negative to say, you go find somebody else. You leave me and you leave my family alone. Well, you know what? We love our church. We love our pastor. We love what we stand for around here, and we're going to go forward in this ministry. Now, folks, listen to me. It does hurt your church, and it does. I'm sorry. I'm a human being. It hurts your pastor sometimes. But what it's costing you and what it's costing the cause of Christ is really where the sadness lies. If you're not careful, you can just get this into you so deep that, you know what? It'll just take root. And you'll end up being a castaway. God will just kind of take you over there and say, okay, little miss or little mister know-it-all, just set you over here on a shelf. You just spend the rest of your life, you know, with that little sense of superiority, little sense of your call to critique, and I'll just kind of set you over here. And you just kind of stay right there and do your little thing. One of these days, I'll see you at the judgment seat. And I'm going to show you what could have been done in your life had you to confess that sin. I'm going to show you what damage you did to the ministry of your church and to good people if you'd have just got that, if you hadn't had that sin rooted in your life, you'd have got that thing right with God. Folks, this is a sin that we ought to take seriously. We ought not to allow in our life. And we ought not to let people come up and get us involved in this in any stretch of the imagination. We should see this sin for what it is tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask God that you use what we've taught tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to keep our eyes and our focus on your great commission, your great plan for the church. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we go forward in 2010. We take off in some areas and start some ministries and seek that double portion. Seek to see, Lord, the buses come in full and Sunday school classes fill up and young adults reached. I pray, God, that to the best of every single person in this room, to the best of their ability, Lord, that they'd get on board with a positive attitude, support this both in prayer and in the work and the labor that needs to be done. I pray, Lord, that you'd give us a great year. I can't help but think that Jesus might come this year. And Lord, I know I said that last year, and I said it the year before, and Lord, I believed it then, and I believe it now. I really believe, Lord, this could be the year. This may be the last stretch of time we've got. We may be literally within months. We may only have 6-8 month window here. I don't know. Lord, I pray that we'd work like it was right around the corner. I pray that we'd work every day as if we expected it to be the last day that we'd have to reach somebody for Christ. Get us focused, God, on the good things of God. Get us focused on the positive. Get us focused on lost souls. Get us focused, Lord, on the well-being of the church and the success of the ministries. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, not to fall in this trap of murmuring and complaining. Pray these things in Jesus' name.